The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am now worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it certainly is that time of year. I was somewhere on the internet this week, and there was an ad that said, "Vince Vaughn saves Christmas." Anyone with the reference? Vince Vaughn saves Fred Claus. Come on, people. Fred Claus. Movie where he plays Santa's brother. And you know what he does? You never know this. He saves Christmas. I got thinking about how the movies this year are all about saving Christmas. And it's one right after another. The theme is recurring. Christmas is in danger and needs to be saved. Christmas needs a hero. And you think back on some of those a long way. I mean, when I was a kid, I lived for the night that Rudolph was on. And you couldn't miss it because it only came once a year. But what is it? Rudolph, of course, has to save Christmas. And he does so with that silly nose of his. Tim Allen saves Christmas how many times? At least three in his three Santa Claus movies. It's the same thing. Something's not working. Something has to be saved or Christmas is to be no more. And on it goes. There's even a movie called The Night They Saved Christmas. At least they're straightforward on that. In fact, I did a quick search for movies with the title Saves Christmas or Saved Christmas, with those words in it. And there are more really, well, it's an exaggeration, but almost more than you can count. Just as sampling here, there was The Man Who Saved Christmas, How the Toys Saved Christmas, The Dog Who Saved Christmas, The Elf Who Saved Christmas, not to be confused with the movie Elf, in which the elf saves Christmas, yes. The Bear Who Saved Christmas, The Boy Who Saved Christmas, Bolly, the little girl who saved Christmas, Ernest, remember Ernest saves Christmas, Elmo saves Christmas, that one ran a lot in our house when Christmas rolled around several years ago. Do you know Inspector Gadget saves Christmas? Felix the Cat saves Christmas? Naughty, Hercules, they all save Christmas. The list goes on and on. The bottom line is always this. Christmas is in danger and needs to be saved. Christmas needs a hero. Now, it's not just the movies. In our culture these days, some love to talk about the war on Christmas. The war on Christmas. The pagans are taking it back. Now, in some respects, we took it from the pagans way back several hundred years ago. So maybe it's their turn, I don't know. But the point is, Christmas as we know it needs saving. It's all over the place. No one will say Merry Christmas anymore, right? It's Happy Holidays. And some of us choose to be offended by that. Some of us don't. Some of us know that some see it as holidays. They can't take Christmas from me. Same theme. Christmas is in danger. Christmas needs saving. Christmas needs a hero. Now, fortunately for us, the Gospels give us a hero. And he comes to us in the person of John the Baptist, or as it's translated in our scripture this morning, John the Baptizer. John is an odd guy. He's about as odd as most of the people in these movies who end up saving Christmas, maybe even more so. And he seems a little out of place in the life of the church at Christmas time. Because he's not coming in saying, Merry Christmas. He's coming in saying things like, repent. Repent of your sins. The time is coming. Repent. Not, woo-hoo, the time's coming. As we do now. So our first reaction is, what does he have to do from Christmas? He's more like the Grinch, to go with the theme. He's trying to take Christmas from us with his attitude about it all. We are trying to put on our festive finest, and he comes in wearing camel's hair with a leather belt. Now, I got to tell you, even in first century Palestine, he is way behind the times in his wardrobe. I mean, camel's hair and a leather belt, that is so last century. He harkens back to the prophets here, and he comes in with a quote from Isaiah. It's how Mark introduces this with a quote from Isaiah. And you'll recall, he says, the beginning of the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ goes right to Isaiah and then presents this man wearing clothing that would have been in style back in the days of Isaiah. So John harkens back to the age of the prophets. In the meantime, we're all eating sweets and cookies. Kathy has taken, as she does every year when Christmas time rolls around, we put up little Christmas dishes around the house, and they all seem to appear with little Christmas chocolates and a little box, a little Christmas box that seems to have little Christmas M&Ms in them. And then those chocolates and M&Ms kind of go away, and then they get refilled. This is what we want. John comes in, locusts. Locusts. I'll tell you what. When you all come to the house, someone bring a plate of locusts. We'll see how that goes. Please don't. Please don't. Oh, me and my big mouth, right? Well, all these things, our decorations, we want boughs of holly. And it's as though he bursts into the mall, and he's screaming, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. This guy is a party pooper. This guy has got the Grinch thing going on. A note about repent. I've said this before, and I will say it again, but it's always good to remind ourselves what it means to repent. It doesn't mean to say, I'm sorry, or to feel bad about something I've done, although that's part of it. The word repentance comes from a Greek word, metanoia, which means to turn 180 degrees, to do an about face. When we are sinning, we are moving away from God. When we turn around 180 degrees, we are pointed exactly back at God. This is what John is talking about, amendment of life. Not, I'm sorry. It's, I'm sorry and I'm going to change. That's the challenge of repentance, and that's what he calls us to. Why then is he our hero? Because he knows that to maintain, to own, to have in our heart the true meaning of Christmas, to have in our heart the meaning of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and that child in the manger, we need to repent. We need to get right with God. Now, he doesn't stop at repent. Elsewhere in the Gospels, John goes on and tells them more. He says, if you have two coats, by the way, give one away to someone who needs it. He says, you tax collectors, stop filthing the people. Just collect only what is due. Stop being so greedy. You soldiers, stop extorting money from people. Protect and serve them. Be satisfied with your wages, he said. John calls us to change in ways that get us into right relationship with God. Now, to continue with the theme, if you want to know what this repentance looks like, I think maybe you could look at the Grinch. We all know that at the beginning of the Grinch, he's got this little weensy heart, and we know that because it's in the x-ray. A little, it's two sizes too small, in fact. Dr. Seuss is very clear about that. Two sizes too small. But by the end, he's had a change of heart. The Who's down in Whoville have reached him with their actions, and he discovers Christmas is something else, and he gets a sense of compassion about him that shows that he has turned 180 degrees. In fact, he's headed up the mountain, and he stands up with a whole sleigh on his back, and he turns it around and points it back. Repentance? I don't know if that's what Dr. Seuss meant, but it works. What about Ebenezer Scrooge? Here's another lovely one. Scrooge, of course, gets visited by three strange messengers. Does strange messenger sound familiar? John the Baptist is a strange messenger calling us to be different. The message from these ghosts was that time is near. You need to change. Repent, and he turns into a man of tremendous compassion. The picture, the model of compassion. Now, I want to note that the church has us do this every year. Advent rolls around, and there's a reason for that. I don't think it always lasts, and these two examples might be perfect examples. The Grinch changed. But when we say, you're being a Grinch, are we saying, oh, what a wonderful person with a great joy of Christmas in your heart? No. We're talking about the Grinch, who is a complete jerk. What about Scrooge? When do we say, you're such a Scrooge, meaning you have compassion that is the model for all humanity? No. It changes as soon as it's over. And we have to come back to it again and again. And John calls us to do that. Repentance is going to look different for each of us. We have to think about where it is that we might have fallen away from God. The call is the same to all of us, but the way it looks is different. For some of us, repentance, this about face, may mean simply focusing more on our relationship with God as a relationship of love, and our relationship with others to reflect that love. Love God and love each other, Jesus said. For some of us, it might mean spending more time in prayer, conversing with God, reading the scriptures. For some of us, it might be asking, what are we doing with ourselves when we buy things at the mall? Knowing that there are people out there who are cold and who are hungry. Are we sharing our second coats? For some of it might be to change negative attitudes, to change the way we treat people if we are mistreating them. To some people, it might mean letting go of a grudge and truly forgiving someone who has hurt us, or alternatively, to seek someone we have hurt, asking for their forgiveness, and doing all we can do to make things right. This is what our preparation for the birth of our Savior looks like. Repentance, amendment of life. The movies and the world may offer a picture of a Christmas that is in need of a hero, but Christians already have one, and his name is John the Baptist. Amen.